Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hour number two of Gwen and Chris, thanks to our guy, Sam Levitt, in Chicago, getting us the latest Padres and Cubs. Game one tomorrow at noon. Dylan Cease will then start game two, also at noon, but not tomorrow. That game will be Wednesday. And to that end, join all of us, Ben and Woods, the Braden Suprenant Show, and our Gwen and Chris Show, for a postseason watch party. It's going to take place at Park 101 in Carlsbad, and that's Wednesday, to watch Game 2 between San Diego and Chicago. Park 101 is a bi-level sports bar with a rooftop deck and huge screens. There will be North County's best barbecue. I like the sound of that. Craft cocktails. And we will give away autographed baseballs.
Nice.
Are you autographing a bunch of baseballs? That's nice of you.
No, not me.
Those will be in demand.
No, those are the ones that people will get and they'll throw away.
In demand.
It's the players.
I see. It's all presented by Estrella Jalisco Light Mexican Lager. Join us this Wednesday at Park 101. It's at 3040 Carlsbad Boulevard. Right there in the Carlsbad Village, Wednesday for Game 2. Tomorrow you all are on your own, but then we'll join you all Wednesday for the clincher, or at least we hope.
Let's hope.
All right, we're going to get into, this hour, we will have our good, bad, and ugly from Week 4, the NFL. Week 4 does conclude tonight with a pair of Monday night games. The first one, be a hot time tonight in Miami where the Dolphins and Jets will battle in a battle of winless teams.
I don't know why you're so down on your team. They just took the Bills last week to the end.
Saints did the same yesterday.
Okay, well then why are you so mad at your team? They haven't won a game, yes, but they haven't looked as bad as you make them out to be.
All right. they start at 4:15. After you stomach that for an hour, you can switch over at 5:15 for what should be a little better game between Cincinnati and Denver. That is the game we are going to carry here on 97.3. So, Scraby now will be on until about 5:10.
Yes.
And then we'll get you out to Denver for the game between the Broncos and the Bengals. We'll recap everything that happened yesterday, including, I need a quick comment from you, Scraby, on your defensive coordinator threatening the life of another human being after the game yesterday.
I love how you phrase this. You always talk about how the media turns and twists things. Liam Cohen was the one who approached Robert Saleh.
I said, okay, so I approach you. You're then allowed to threaten my life?
Liam Cohen started all of this.
We did? Didn't Robert Saleh make all the comments last week in the paper that Liam Cohen and the Jags were cheaters and anybody
he never
connected
said cheaters.
To Sean McVay were cheaters?
Wait, will you stop going down this road because you're conveniently forgetting that many times in the press conference Robert Saleh said it's not illegal what they're doing. They're actually really, really good at it. So
is it okay, let's leave that. But is it okay if somebody says to you, keep my name out of your mouth with an expletive thrown in?
Yeah.
Is it then okay
to flat out threaten to end the person's life, as Robert Saleh did.
I don't think he said life.
You don't?
I saw the exchange. Okay. It was very hard to hear.
Okay.
But I will go to the comments right now and see if he threatened a life.
I read Robert Saleh.
Oh, you read, so you don't know for sure. You're just saying
no,
these things.
No, people who John Boyd it said that Robert Saleh said...
He said he will bleep your world up. That is not threatening anybody's life, Chris. You are painting this into a corner.
That is the first sentence he said. He said two more sentences after that.
Okay, well, Chris is really loving this story because his team's so terrible.
Oh, that has absolutely nothing to do with it at all. All right, let's go to our picks for the games and stuff that's going on in the Daily Gab. There isn't a lot tonight, so let's see what we got.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Sorry, I'm reading this transcript that came out 4 hours ago.
Okay.
That I have not read before. Because all the clips showed me was that he said, I'll bleep your world up.
He did say that, but he went on to say a couple of things that were a little more threatening than that even.
I don't even care. This is Liam Cohen's fault.
Okay,
this really is. If Liam Cohen wasn't such a little baby about it, then he had to stop the coach on going off the field, even though Robert Saleh was giving them praise for how good they are at something.
I think you got to.
No, there's no.
I think you
got to
fine a guy for threatening somebody's life.
No. Liam Cohen could have avoided all of this by not starting it after he won the game. Act like you've been there before, sir.
Gotcha.
Act like you've been there before.
Exactly.
He hasn't been there before. Yeah, he hasn't been there, so he's going to be a little child about it. Isn't this the same guy who said, I'm not going to be your head coach unless you fire someone? Sounds like a really good guy, Chris.
I know.
Really
good
guy.
You're doing what a lot of people do. Instead of actually addressing what I'm talking about, you're trying to just shift it to something else. That's okay.
I did address what you said.
Very common.
I don't care.
It's a very common way to react when you're losing an argument.
No. Chris, you see, Chris is really good at twisting and turning things. I said at the beginning, I don't care that he said this. It doesn't matter to me. It's a football field.
All right, you don't care.
Yeah,
fine.
I don't.
You don't care. That's all I wanted to know. I said, what do you think about your coach threatening the life of another human being? Your answer is, you don't care.
It would have been nice if you would have told me before the show that there was more that came out, but Chris also does this where he leads me into a place where he doesn't let me know what he wants to talk about.
Surprise.
Yeah, I am a little ticked off. And by the way, now that I'm ticked off.
Yes.
The question that you embarrassed me over, people were actually kind of mad at you because you were acting like I was an idiot.
Oh, we're going back to Friday.
Yes,
now.
Because you brought this upon yourself, Liam Cohen.
Do you really want to go back to your question on Friday?
I don't have it anymore.
Well, I know.
Because I deleted
it. I know what it was.
You're going to make up something.
I am not.
Go ahead. Go ahead with the Daily Gambit. You've attacked the only person who's in this room with you, so...
Wow.
Have fun.
You're taking it pretty hard.
And our Jags fan on the chat is rubbing it in, which is fine, because the 49ers lost. I understand that.
I didn't even mention that part.
They did. They lost.
Yeah, I'm aware, but I didn't mention that. Anyway.
Even after I was so nice about his Dolphins team. It's crazy.
I don't know why.
Me.
All right. Tomorrow morning, the first game of the playoffs, Tigers at Cleveland. Interesting how Cleveland tracked down the Tigers to win the division, but now the two teams play for real in Cleveland. But Tarik Skubal's on the mound for the Tigers. They're favored by a run and a half. Scraby.
The Tigers are?
Tigers are favored at Cleveland with Skubal on the mound.
I mean, they just did this, and Skubal lost.
Okay.
But it's the playoffs, and I'll pick Skubal.
Taking Skubal. I'll take Cleveland because Skubal just lost. Padres and Cubs, Seven runs is all they're putting up there for the over-under. Seven runs. Somebody's got to get to four to win. I hope that's the Padres. I'm going to say over.
I mean, that would be a 4-3 game.
4-3 would at least get you a push. What do you got?
I'll take over.
I don't feel great about it, though.
I'm going to go over, too.
Both going over there. Pivetta or Matthew Boyd? Who pitches longer into the game? Who records more outs, as it were?
Let's go with Pivetta. I got to go with Pivetta. He's my guy. He's our guy.
You kind of got to go with Pivetta here.
He's our guy.
I don't know that the Cubs have as good a bullpen to go to, though. So I'll say Boyd. I say they stick with him until we punish him.
Okay.
Jets, Miami tonight. Somehow the odds makers feel the two teams can combine for 44.5 points.
Jets and Miami, 44.5.
Over
and
under.
Half.
That's going to be way under with these two teams. By the way, do you know how many turnovers the Dolphins have forced this year?
I'm going to say zero.
Do you know how many the Jets have forced this year?
I'm going to say zero.
There you go. This is
going to be an offensive game.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I think
I'm saying under. You're going to go over?
I'm going to go over.
Okay. Denver minus 7.5 over the Bengals tonight.
Denver. Minus 7.5. Jake Browning did not look great last week against the Vikings.
They just were a turnover machine last
week.
7.5
is a lot, though. Okay. And I don't think that Bo Nix is playing that well.
He hasn't yet.
I'm going to go with the Bengals plus 7.5.
I'm going to go with... I'd take the Bengals, too. I think that's a good bet. Nix versus Browning. Who throws for more yardage here? Nix versus Browning. I'll go with Nix because Sean Payton keeps telling me he's on the verge of a breakthrough, but not feeling it.
How many weeks can you say that in a row?
I know. And, you know, Browning has Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, all he has to do is get the ball out there.
Yeah, I got to go with Nix, too.
You're going with Nix also, though.
Yeah.
All right. Scraby and I will try to kiss and make up. We're back.
I don't
with
want
more.
Anything to do with
you.
You
don't want to do that.
Nope.
Gwen and Chris, we got our good, bad, and the ugly.
Whoops, sorry.
And we'll get to that in just a moment, or in a little bit. But more, Tony Gwynn Jr. hopefully will be joining us from Chicago. He was at the workout.
Yes.
Today. So we're hoping to hear from him as Gwen and Chris rolls on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, sorry everybody about that heated argument Scraby and I had. I will direct everybody who wants to know what Robert Saleh said to any of the articles that covered this, and you can judge for yourself whether or not he threatened the guy's life. Now, we will get back to football. The good, the bad, the ugly is coming up in a little bit. But Tony is with us.
Yes, he is.
In Chicago. He was at the workout today. Padres working out at Wrigley Field. Hello, T. Isn't it great to be back in the postseason for the fourth time in 6 years? We should be enjoying this, but I get the feeling everybody's just worried as hell right now.
Yeah, I can't help the worry of everyone, but I can tell you that it is very exciting to be back here at the postseason, especially here in Chicago. And I thought the Padres finished the week the way I would want my team to finish the week offensively. They did a really good job, I thought, in the last two series against Milwaukee and the Diamondbacks of putting together some good offense. So, I think the Padres are going in with some momentum. Obviously, that may or may not carry over. We'll see. Game one, we know, is extremely important. It was talked about a lot during the press conferences today. And, Padres are poised to get off the gates well, I think.
Well, look, the Padres have been in this 2 out of 3 situation now 3 times here in the last 5 years. This is the 4th time in the playoffs. 2020, they beat the Cardinals. 2022, they beat the Mets on the road. And last year, they beat the Braves. So they've done okay in these short series. Yep. And, this is what you have here against the Cubs. And you haven't seen these guys since April. So I don't think you can even put any stock into that.
Yeah, I agree.
But what everybody is saying is that game one, 12 series, and 12 times game one team winner has gone on to win the series. I guess that means something, but it really doesn't, because what happens if the Padres win tomorrow and then the Cubs win the next two? That'd be like, so
right.
What?
It's like that until someone changes.
Yeah, right. It's like that until something happens. So
right, and then they'll say, well, there's only been one team that's ever won a series after game one, and so you gotta let 12 times in the grand scheme of things is not a whole lot.
No,
of data to really pull from, but it is the data that we have, and so. Because that's the case, yeah, game one's pretty important. No team has ever won the series without it. So
I will caution everybody that when the Cubs, way back when in 1984, beat the Padres the first two games, no team had ever come from 2-0 behind in the National League to win a best of five. And then the Padres did that. So
yeah.
There you go. All right, fast forward 41 years, and here they are again, the Cubs and the Padres. Can you give me just a little feel? I know you talked to the guys today. I'm sure everybody's pretty loose and saying all the right things, Tony. Just give us a little feel.
Yeah, I mean, they look crisp. I mean, they took some infield. They took some outfield. You can tell that everybody's excited and looking forward to it. It wasn't like they were jumping around like little kids or anything like that, but they certainly had a level of professionalism as they, went through their stretching. Usually stretching is kind of scattered, during the regular season. Guys come out, a couple more come out. They eventually get it together. They were all out there ready to roll. They took a crisp outfield, infield. Then they got to hitting balls all over the ballpark, and it's a beautiful day today. I mean, it's very much San Diego. So if the idea was to get the West Coasters out here and freeze them to death, it's not going to be the case these next 3 days. We got really good weather. The factor, of course, will be the wind. We don't know which way it's going to blow. It's been, sounds like, talking to the people around the building, it has been blowing in for about a week straight. So what that means for tomorrow, I don't know, but guys were pretty loose. Heard from Pivetta, heard from Machado, heard from Schilt. They're ready to go.
Well, look, I think it's going to be interesting to see how, Mike Schilt goes about managing this series. I don't know that the Cubs have the same options. They have some good bullpen pieces, don't get me wrong. But the Padres have great bullpen pieces, right? They have Mordejón. They have, Estrada, who, hopefully – I'll take that, strike out the side inning the other night as a sign that maybe he's hopefully going to, be back. Mason Miller, I would, if I was the Padres, I'd just pitch him all 9 innings both games and take my chances. But you got Suarez. So they've got all these guys. And now for Michael King in the bullpen as well. So how would you do it if you're Mike Schilt? You want to use your advantage, right, Tony? But you also don't want to run to it if you don't have to.
The advantage is the bullpen. And so the advantage there is if you get into trouble, you have a bullpen to go to. You're not going to the bullpen unless the starter is indicating that you need to go to the bullpen. So Nick Pivetta's on the mound tomorrow. I'm sure he wants to do his thing. This is a chance on the big stage. He has pitched his behind off all season long. And so, yeah, you want to, yes, you want to use your bullpen, but that is not the, and Mike kind of hit on this during his presser. He wants his starter to do its thing first, and then you can kind of figure out where you go from there. But that isn't the option until, you know, Pivetta gets into some trouble. And so, Pivetta gives you six. Guess what? Your bullpen is even in better shape for the following day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you haven't had to go up to all of the arms, assuming that everything goes, you know, according to plan. And so, yeah, the Padres, ultimately, their best weapon is going to be their offense. Because if they get a lead, now you get to dictate your bullpen. If you don't have a lead or you're chasing or you're having to go to the bullpen early, you're not really dictating anything at that point. You're having to go to it because of trouble. So if the offense gets a lead, now you get to kind of dictate what you want to do with your bullpen.
Lefty Matthew Boyd tomorrow for the Cubs. I know it's been a while since we saw him. We saw him at Wrigley Field on April 5th. Padres didn't get anything off him. Five hits, no runs. They saw him here in San Diego, did a little bit better. I got a couple runs off him in 5+. But he's been good and a really good against left-handed batters this year, Tony. I feel like, I don't want to put extra pressure, but I feel like, you know, Toddy, Manny, Bogarts are going to have to, you know, carry some of the heavy lifting, at least tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. I mean, ultimately, the lefty's got to participate in the offense too, regardless of how good Boyd has been against left-handers. This is the postseason. So, you know, we can't keep leaning on the, well, you know, he's been good against lefties, so Manny and nah. If this team wants to go to a World Series, lefties are going to have to hit lefties. Righties are going to have to hit righties at some point. I'm not saying they got to go out and hit 500 or even 300, but they got to be able to carry the weight. I think, by the way, Matthew Boyd is an impressive dude. I got to listen to him today. He was super emotional, tears in his eyes. Remember, this dude has dealt with a lot of injury. His grandfather's apparently grew up a Cubs fan, so he was in tears as he was answering questions. And at the end, it got a little uncomfortable because I think he didn't want to be in tears. But yeah, I think in terms of the Padres, we've talked so much about, you know, better lineups, who hits better where, lefties, righties. It's go time now. So. Whatever that lineup is tomorrow, and I have a feeling that it's going to be a lot of lefties in there. I think O'Hearn's going to be in there.
Yeah.
I think Sheets is going to be in there. And so if that's the case, regardless of how well Matthew Boyd did during the regular season against lefties, some of these lefties are going to have to step up in the same way that Toddy and Manny are going to have to step, and Bogey are going to have to step up. That's already the case. But if this team is going to go far, it's going to probably be because other guys have stepped up too, including those lefties.
Matthew Boyd, Oregon State guy, making the start. He's a Beaver. Yeah, he'll make the start tomorrow. You know, looking at the guy, and he is first 24 starts this year. He gave up more than three earned runs only three times. However, the last seven starts, he gave up more than three, five of the seven. So he hasn't been pitching as well. Hopefully, Padres can keep that going. Tony's in Chicago. Yeah. We're here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony touched on the lineup, but I have a couple of ideas I want to run through, and we'll do that, talking more Padres, getting ready for the playoffs on 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. 3:36 is the time. Tony's in Chicago. Got to be honest, I wish I was there. I wouldn't even tag along, Tony. I would honestly just go on my own and get some deep dish pizza, sausage, onions, extra cheese. Just the way I like it.
That's your pizza right there, sausage and onions.
Yep, a little extra cheese, deep dish. I kind of like Geno's East, but I will be, you know, accepting of pretty much any of the Chicago pizzerias.
What about Luminati's?
Luminati's, I've been there.
It's not Luminati's.
Yes, it is.
I thought it was Lou Malnati's.
Luminati's. I know. I ordered their salad dressing to be shipped out to my house one time. Luminati's has really good salad dressing. That's beside the point.
It's two words, though.
Yeah, I know. But they say it kind of together, and it sounds like...
Oh, I forgot.
Anyway.
We have a Chicago pizza.
Yes, I'm here. A Chicago native. I've been there one time in my life, maybe two.
Ever Tony, since Chris set me up for failure, I'm like...
He's been angry all weekend. Tony Gwynn Jr., I looked at the lineup, and I keep looking at the lineup, and I am worried about the five lefties in there.
Yeah, there's no... explain that. There's no actual lineup yet.
Right, no lineups out there, but I'm worried about the five.
So you're looking at the last lineup, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at what I expect. I think most people expect to be the lineup. And the other thing that I know Mike Shildt is very, doesn't enjoy doing is putting lefty, 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 which he kind of would have to do with the way it's set up right now, 6-7-8. So I'm wondering if maybe Iglesias gets the call at DH and O'Hearn plays left field, even though he's only been there 20 games in his career, and you bring Sheets off the bench. That would put a righty in the middle of the lefties. I just wonder if Shildt's thinking about it. Maybe he'll stay up all night, or maybe he's already decided,
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that he has left the three lefties back-to-back-to-back-to-back other than against righties all season. Now, if he goes with Sheets, I could see him dropping Xander down maybe to kind of break up the three.
That's a good call.
He could start Johnson, who's a switch hitter. He could start Iglesias. We know he doesn't want to give, and no manager really in today's game wants to give a runway where there's just all lefties, where they could either have Boyd benefit from it or the lefties coming out of the pen. But either way, it's small potatoes, man. At the end of the day, they're going to have to hit. there's no way around
it.
The Padres,
Padres'
best lineup is with Gavin Sheets in it right now. Obviously we're missing Ramon Laureano, so he's not an option. But that's their best lineup, and whether it's the three of them back to back to back, or if you split it up, you find a righty to throw in there so that it's not three, they're gonna have to hit either way. And so I would just tell you, you might as well just stop worrying and just wait and see what happens, because there's no new answers coming through the door. The same guys we saw the last, minus Ramon Laureano, are going to be the guys that they're going to go with.
Yeah, but I'm a fan, and I have to just worry about the playoffs tomorrow.
No, you don't have to. You choose to worry.
Yeah, but I'm going to.
Good point, Tony.
I choose to. Look, that's just the way it's going to have to be. They got to go out there. They got to score four runs. They don't have to, but four would be great. They won 77% of their games this year when they scored four. So, Yeah. That's the magic number.
Definitely their magic number for sure.
Yeah. It has definitely been the case. As far as Pivetta.
Yeah.
He seems like he is going to be. Was he like game mode already today? You said you were able.
No,
to
he was pretty loose.
Okay, good.
He was very much like he was when he came on with us the other day. I mean, he doesn't. To me, he doesn't really come off as someone that is like super. Like he's always game ready to me. Like even when he is kind of being his version of playful, he still is a very professional, like focused dude. And I didn't see anything different today. I think it's the same. I think he's excited. You know, we've talked a lot about it. He's been one of those dudes that the numbers just didn't match what everybody was seeing. And for it to come together all season long the way it has, I'm sure he wants nothing more to get on this stage in particular. He was kind of seen out before, you know, the guys got ready, just kind of taking it all in. And that to me is a dude that is living in the moment and is ready to take on whatever it is. He didn't have a good outing here his last time here. I think it was the last game of that series against the Cubs.
Right. That's the game we won, actually. But, yeah, he didn't pitch well.
He didn't pitch well. And he really, I thought, hit the nail on the head. His troubles came really self-inflicted. He walked a bunch of guys that game. He wasn't really commanding it. And that's really how he got himself into trouble here. And so he pitched better, I believe, because it was the same matchup, I think, when the Padres faced him here in San Diego in April. And I just think he's up for the challenge, man. I really do. He hasn't really wavered at any point this year. You know, he might have had an okay one here and there, but he's been pretty solid all season.
So Dylan Cease gets the call for game two.
Yes.
I'm pretty confident that Dylan Cease can pitch a Dylan Cease game. You know, I know other people, you talk about worry, Tony. That's where I think a lot of the worry is coming from right now. But to me, I don't have a problem with this. And I also, you know, I would go, if it was a winner take all game three, Darvish is my guy. So I'm just assuming Michael King, they didn't feel as right, you know, at this point. And you just got to trust that Cease is going to pitch one of his games.
Yeah, man, I think it's Cease has been – he's been better first in the last couple of outings. But then when you kind of match it up against what you've seen from Darv, what you've seen from Michael, and it's really unfair to throw Michael in there because he's only had, four starts. But that was the time frame they were under. And I don't know that anything changed for those two guys I just named, in Darvish and King, in their last starts. They kind of looked like we've seen them look, you know, in the previous starts that we've seen them. And so, you know, I think there's a couple things at play here with the Padres and going with Dylan. A, as I mentioned, he's thrown the ball a little bit better his last couple times out. The Cubs struggle with the fastball. That's the other thing. And the one thing Dylan's got over both of those guys we just named is a high – octane fastball. And so if he can go out and command it, that is a bonus for the Padres, because that, you know, throughout the season, you know, all of this stuff starts over once you get to the postseason, which we've kind of highlighted, like nothing that you did in the regular season matters. However, what the regular season does do is you do know the makeup and the character of all of these teams, right? You don't go from struggling to hit fastballs to all of a sudden just start being great at it, right? There's 162 games of evidence behind it. And so I think those are the things that are at play with Dylan. I think it was only enhanced by Darv never really getting going the way I think we've grown accustomed to seeing, and Michael really not having enough time to get going the way we saw him go in 2024. And so certainly a nice weapon to have coming out of the bullpen, though, for sure.
Tony's in Chicago, Scraby and myself, the Odyssey Palace Studios. Padres Cubs tomorrow, shortly after noon, Fernando Tatis Jr. will step into the batter's box, Tony, and it'll be postseason, and he'll be first up. And I didn't even realize, I knew he was great in the postseason. I did not know the numbers were this staggering for Fernando in 13 games to have a postseason OPS of 1,328. I mean, are you kidding? Six home runs, you know, 375 average, 854 slugging. I mean, come on, Fernando. Turn the light bulb on tomorrow. He loves this, and we just got to hope.
The light bulb is...
No, but you know what I mean. Like, make it brighter than tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is what he... I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it feels like this is what Tati is, like, lives for.
Yeah.
Like, these... This stage, these bright lights, like, this is where I feel like he does his best work. And so... I don't think it's, I think it's perfect timing, I should say, that he got going when he did. Like, it seems like the last couple of weeks he's really started to, you know, return to that toddy. And I think it's coming at a perfect time. At a perfect time.
Manny, his career postseason aren't quite the same. Again, it's always a shorter sample size. But in 25 games, he's hit .216 with the Padres, seven home runs. So he's had some long ball in there. Career says, you know, same. .215 career in the postseason. Can that weigh on anybody's head? Or is Manny, you know this guy. He's so confident. I don't know that that even wrinkles him at all, even though some people will probably bring it up here. As I just did.
I'm not sure if he thinks about it, but and I'm damn sure that he wouldn't let us know that he was thinking about it at any point. But just given what I know about him, I don't see it being a factor, man. Like, he has a great ability to kind of like compartmentalize, I guess, is maybe the right word. He just doesn't get involved with those type of thoughts, it seems like. And listen, he's human. I'm sure there are times where he's thinking, man, I'm not good right now. But I just don't see that being one of them. Like, I think he is more locked in on doing whatever he's got to do to help this year. I think he would tell you that, too. Like, those other years, it doesn't even matter. Right now, I'm just trying to help this ball club win, and it'd be great to have. What we haven't seen all year long is Jackson, Toddy, and Manny all going at the same time. We might have had two or three. We certainly have had one of three, but not at any point this year have Toddy, Manny, and Jackson been going at the same time. It would be, whew. Explosive if all three of those dudes got going right now.
Yeah, I'll take that. I would definitely take that.
You'll take it.
I mean, we gotta have it.
I think we all take it.
Of course.
Yeah,
we gotta have it.
Sammy was telling us about the wind there at Wrigley, saying it was pretty windy.
Tony, and you probably played in it. I mean, that can be crazy.
I don't know how much Sammy's. I believe Sammy might be new to Wrigley. What today was not windy.
Okay, this wasn't windy by Wrigley standards.
This is just normal windy.
Okay.
I contend that the Padres are probably better prepared than any other team playing in San Francisco as often as they do.
Right.
With all the wind that they deal with there. But this is definitely a different monster, for sure. At least, let me say this, at least it wasn't that windy when the Padres were hitting.
How about the Cubs and Chicago? And the way that, you know, these guys got to deal with their side of the equation here. They've always been the lovable losers, right? It's been 100 years. They had the one World Series. That was now 9 years ago. I imagine some of the luster that's even worn off. So, you know, what's the vibe like there from the Chicago side? We look at it from our side, but I assume they're facing similar questions and concerns, too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, they have, listening to the questions that were asked during the Cubs portion of things to Craig Counsell, was really centered around Boyd and how they got to the decision to go with Boyd over Imanaga, who's throwing the ball extremely well against the Padres. And you just get the sense that they didn't talk unless they – I think they were a lot more closer to the vest than I felt like the Padres were. Their offense has, in the same way the Padres had, they kind of mirror each other in some way. They both had, like, lulls where the offense couldn't score. The Cubs struggled mightily to score. And then they got to this last couple of weeks of the season, and then both offense started looking different. And so I think in this series it's really going to boil down to can either offense not fall into what they had done during the regular season when they weren't well. I think that's going to be a big factor in this, because as we said, if the Padres can get a lead early, it might be lights out.
I like their chances. Give me four early, and then I'll turn it over to the rest of the crew.
I want four early.
Huh? I want that four. Bob Melvin was fired today by the Giants.
Yes, he was.
That wasn't a shock to me because he was inherited by Buster Posey, right?
But Buster Posey gave him the "he's our manager for next year."
Yeah, well, they
speech.
Always say that.
I know. I mean, it's kind of
they always say that.
It's true until it's not.
That's true until it's not. Good point.
It was true when he said it, and then at some point it not became not true anymore, and he had to let him know.
I think Bob did a credible job with a Giant team that I didn't think was all that, and then completely looked like they fell apart. And he somehow propped them up to get them back to 500. I don't know. I think I'm more of a Bob Melvin fan than a lot of people. I know you are too, Tony. But that's just the game of baseball.
I'm definitely a Bob Melvin fan. But unlike you, I thought they had a good enough team to
do better.
To do better, and they did do better at the time of the year. I mean, they were the team that was, for a large part of the season, ahead of the Diamondbacks. They were the third team for most of the season. And then they stopped hitting, too. It just so happened to be right after that deal for Devers. But they got a good little nucleus there. I mean, Devers is going to be there for a while. You signed up Adames. What will Lee look like in year three? He's gotten injured back-to-back seasons at different points. They got two guys at the front line of their rotation that are pretty good.
Yeah.
Bullpen's going to have to be addressed for sure, but I'm like you, it wasn't that much of a surprise as the season went on. Seemed like he had saved himself with the good run.
Yeah.
And then he lost all that grace way they finished the year.
Yeah.
Kind of just falling by the wayside.
Well, the other thing is Bruce Boch is going to be there next year. I just feel
that is certainly, once I saw that one pop up, it was like, oh man, that might be too,
the stars are aligning.
Yeah, the stars are exactly, Scrape.
They're
totally aligning for him to go there. So
there was one more manager got let go today.
Rocco Baldelli.
Yeah,
he's gone to Minnesota. But before I let you roll for the evening and start prepare, but your thoughts on our friend Juan Soto and the Mets missing the playoffs.
I know.
I shouldn't be blaming Juan Soto. The guy was unstoppable all year, but
oh, look at that, Tony. It's the end of the hour.
Yeah. Lucky you.
Listen, they I don't know, man. They don't have an excuse.
They had
a good team and they somehow just coughed it up. I don't know. I mean, they're going to lose, sounds like they're going to lose Pete Alonso. So they got some money to kind of spread around to kind of help some of those issues next year, sounds like. Yeah.
But Mets fans are happy to hear that Carlos Mendoza will be back.
He's
according
retained.
To the Mets, yes.
They wouldn't have been happy if
no, I know.
It could have been Jesus that was the manager. They would have been mad, probably.
Yeah, they probably had a right to be mad. All right, Tony, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We do not want to see you for like till next week,
yes.
Middle of next week.
Yes.
So
correct.
I hope I don't see you guys for a long time.
Yeah, have a good long trip, and we're back with hour number three on Gwen and Chris.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.